Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
All right, Chris, just settle the hell down. Things have to happen for this show to run as smoothly as it does. Jesus.
Does it run smooth? When did that start?
No, we really should give it more time. We really need to give it more time to bake. Yeah. Okay. You're listening to the official podcast of PHP Architect. This is episode 2025.07.10. I'm one of your hosts, Eric Van Johnson, and with me, as always, is John Tungton.
Your kids are throwing you under the bus, too. It just happens.
The podcast focuses on all things PHP and web development, and occasionally my family and children and wife and dog, every now and then. But mainly PHP and web development. We also touch on the larger PHP community and general life of being a developer. And of course, we talk about our company, PHP Architect, the magazine, the books, and the conference. We record every Thursday, 3 p.m. I'm using that word very loosely, like a lot of Thursdays.
Many, many Thursdays.
3 p.m. Pacific time. And the podcast is made a little better thanks to our partners over at Honey Badger, who help you monitor your app. So we're going to talk a little bit more about Honey Badger a little later in the show. If you don't watch the stream live, you can do that over on YouTube. And more importantly, you can do it in our Discord. That's how I knew Chris was getting antsy, because he's in our Discord saying, hey, what the hell? But more importantly, you can be part of the show. You'll see the Discord streaming here over on the side. And yeah, give us some stuff to talk about.
Discord, you got to say it, discord.phparch.com. Come join us.
Good catch. Yes. And youtube.com/phparch. Pretty much PHP Arch everywhere. But yeah, join us on our Discord channel. What did Twinny say? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So how is it going, John?
It is going. I got fun work stuff to share, but I'll do that in a few
What's
minutes.
That? What did you ask me, John? Yes, this how is light reading? On my face, John. I have a window.
I thought they were keeping you in the basement for a reason.
Yes, we have finally started the migration to the other area of the house that I will be using as my office for the foreseeable future. But I'm most excited about my window. I can look out, watch coyotes walk by. But yeah, I'm excited, happy.
Watch them catching a cat.
Yeah. Oh man, I cut you off. What were you talking about?
I don't know. I only said the cat thing because my mother-in-law, I think yesterday or the other day, she was here talking about she heard coyotes in her at her house. And she thinks
it's a very sensitive subject here.
I know. I realized that after I said it, but it was really because my mother-in-law brought it up just the other day, not because you've had it happen in the past. And then I felt bad.
We unfortunately caught one on security camera, and it was jarring to see, and
it's
very difficult.
Yeah.
So
sucks. I was saying that I have a fun work story to share in a bit, but I'd let you go first. How was your week?
Man, my love-hate relationship with CouchDB just continues. I do like it, and I think it's a good fit for how we're using it, which is with our mobile apps. But like nobody is really skilled at managing CouchDB yet. And I think Joe's really getting up to speed pretty quickly. But even then, like, it's not your regular database. And so it's not even a matter of understanding how to manage the servers, but like, you know, how to extract data from it correctly. So this week, you know, we've been having some issues with a syncing process that we have in place. And one of the components is Couch. And to be fair, Couch hasn't been so much the problem as other things that we're trying to understand if what we have architected is really the best solution. But of that, there was a question on if things were syncing correctly. And somebody on our team had mentioned they didn't think the sync was working. And we couldn't figure out if it was a sync between, because I say sync, it's not really a sync, it's a replication. I don't know why those are two different words, but Couch calls them replications. And we couldn't figure out initially if it was an issue between the different instances of Couch or if it was somewhere else. Now, it wasn't Couch, it was somewhere else. But during this process, we're trying to see, because end of day, what happens on the mobile device will show up in a web interface, in this administrative panel of a web interface, right? Mm-hmm. So the mobile device can be offline. It doesn't need to be connected to the internet. When it does connect, that's when Couch kicks in and it does a syncing of all the data, and it finds its way down. So we were running tests on the mobile device, trying to see if it was showing up in the administrative interface. And all I wanted to do was see the latest record created in the database. That's all I wanted to do. But that's not easy in Couch. Like, you have to create views for everything. It's not like a relational database where you just say, okay, you know, give me, reverse this column or, you know, whatever. Right. It's you have to create views, and the views are written in this JavaScript language. And it's just like, oh my God, I just want to see the last record, because it doesn't always, like, it won't necessarily, I might be wrong on this actually. I'm not sure if it necessarily creates the records in order. So it's not even like I can go to like the last page and see what the record is, right? So you have to create this view that says, okay, you know, here's my view. This is a view. I want it organized by created at date. But even that's not enough, right? Because now that I have the view, so you got to remember, with Couch, everything is, all the interaction to it, well, not all the interaction, but it's designed to have all the interaction to it be over HTTP, right?
Right.
So that view is just, you're basically creating an endpoint that says, hey, you know, go to this view and you'll get your data in this, you know, based on the view, right? So in this case, it was created at, but I wanted to create it at in reverse. So then I had to go to my browser and had to, within the browser, you can append, sort, was it sort or order? I forget. I think it might have been order equals, you know, descending or ascending. Like, you put it there in your web request.
Right.
And I'm just like, oh my God, like all these steps.
You can't make it.
Goddamn record.
You can't default the view to descending when you create it.
And I thought, and again, this is where the fact that nobody's like really good at this comes into play, because I thought I was doing something wrong. Like, I kept doing all this research. I'm like, okay, I have the view I want. I just want it in reverse order. Like, I want the newest record first. And I'm like doing all this research and yeah, no, maybe somebody better than me can. And that might be part of the problem is, you know, like I said, you want data. If you want to just extract samples of data out of the database, you kind of have to know what you're doing. And
we use it, but not enough.
So I have given
to do all that.
Right. And again, not knocking it. It's a great tool. It's uncomfortable because we're very close. And actually, we already have apps in production that are using this technology, but we're really close on this new app of releasing it, and it has a big Couch component, so we'll see. I've already given Brooks, our new mobile developer, I've already given him the okay to replace that if he can come up with another solution, he can replace it. But we are very, very close to the finish line, so he's not doing it before release. I mean, this is not enough time. So we'll see.
That was one of the reasons we hired him, right? To get this app across the finish line.
Right. To push this app across the finish line. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that sounds
besides that.
I said that sounds sad. That would
sad
that it's taken that much brain power to try and figure that out. Like, it's not easy to sort the way you think.
And I noticed that's something else about me as well. It's like, I used to embrace these things. Like, oh, this is an opportunity to learn something new. And I would, like, do deep dives and, like, really kind of get my head around it. And I don't have that much time anymore. I don't have time for that shit anymore. Like, I'm to the point in my life where it's like, I just need it working.
It's a combination of getting old, I think, and we're running a business and are truly busy. We really have stuff we have going on.
And it's different than when we had Diego Dev, because Diego Dev, we were just doing consulting, right? That's all we did was consulting. And it was simple. Now we have the magazine, we have the conference, we do books. It's just like, it's piled on so much. Like, I'm already thinking, I started panicking this morning. I'm like, wow, we're less than a year until the next tech, which, keep in mind, we're always less than a year to the next tech because, you know, the other tech had ended. But, like, I already feel like we're so far along. It's like, shit, you know, like, I feel like we're behind already. Like, there's things we need to get done that haven't
been done yet. We got to get that thing over to the designers that we said we were going to talk about last week, and I don't think we did. So maybe we do in a bit. Not right now.
Talk about it on the show?
Yeah, we said we were going to talk about the thing we're getting over to the designers that we've been meeting with Maya about. I thought we said we were going to talk about it on the show last week, and we never did.
We're talking about the same thing?
Yeah.
The partner program? Okay, don't tell anybody. How you say it.
You and I talked about it, right? We're going to talk about it on the show.
I'm talking about it. I don't care.
We'll talk about that in a bit. Or my week. No, I wanted to share some of my depression.
Go ahead.
My week. For the past couple of years, you know, I work on a client project, and we've been doing these 2-week sprints fairly regularly and doing pretty good at it. All of a sudden this week, I think it was this week, maybe it was late last week, the CEO says, oh yeah, it was Monday morning, late last week, I was invited to an 8 a.m. meeting, and there's probably like 15 of us in this meeting every morning now at 8 a.m. for 15 minutes. And the goal is reimagining a piece of the application, building it from scratch with 24-hour turnaround time. So it's like every day we get together and
what
we demo what was done yesterday. And then it's like, all right, in the next 24 hours, I need somebody to do X. And then the expectation is somebody jumps on that. They've been doing this for other things within the company the past, I'm assuming, couple of months, and it's proven successful. And during tech, or just after tech, we took one sprint and developed this JavaScript SDK to build a dialer, right? So somebody could take this, create their own dialer, drop it in their application, and be dialing. And the CEO thought that was really cool. He goes, what would it take to maybe take a CSV file and dial everybody in it? So one of the devs like, huh, what would that take? And he spent a few nights of his own time building a simple application. So that became the foundation of this. Look what we can do here. And then he's like, demo it Monday morning. And then he was, all right, in the next 24 hours, I want to see Google authentication put in front of it. All in all, it's good. It's positive. It's removing the shackles of the legacy application that we've all been working on for the past 10 plus years, and letting us work fast and accomplish things, which is all fine and dandy until you realize there's other work that's still supposed to be done. Like, we started this sprint and we committed to getting this set of work done, and all of a sudden there's one or two developers that aren't available because they're off playing in the new with the new toys, and it's like, but we got to finish this over that, here. And we
when that this was all started, my exact question is like, wait, but you're losing somebody every day, right?
Because
you have to focus on that for the next day,
right? You're losing like one or two people from each team because it's cross departmental. It's like, again, at the end of the day, it's a very positive thing, but I'm also like struggling with that. But we committed to getting this done and we're not going to because of this. And I don't really have a role in that piece right now. And wondering where that, like, I know that time is going to come. So it's been a very odd week because of that.
So can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
What's this method? It has to have a name. What do you call this?
I don't know. Cause it's literally a 15 minute stand up. We've gone over once. The CEO is very clear. Like, it's 15 minutes. He has an agenda and he's like, all right, tomorrow you're going to present this and you have 5 minutes and you are going to present this piece of something, whether it's research, like I said, cross-departmental. So bringing in customer service teams, what is the number one ask from your customers? Like, what is the one thing that we could add to this that would make your life easier as a customer service or salesperson or whatever? So what's the name of it? I don't know.
Art in this one day sprint says that's a sprint reset. I'm not sure if this is what he's referring to. It doesn't sound like a sprint reset, but
I don't know.
It's got to have a name. All these things have names, man. That's all we do. That can be somebody's next 24-hour mission is to come up with a name with whatever the hell we're doing.
Naming things is hard.
You know, it sounds, actually, no, it doesn't really. I was about to say, it sounds appealing, but not really. Like, because I know I would be like, oh, I got a ticket queue I got to get to. I don't want to be doing this. You know, this is
right.
This is crazy. But yeah, that's interesting.
I mean, like, all in all, at the end of the day, I do think it's an exciting process of turning around something new, something quick. And it all stemmed from a meeting that we had with the CEO at Cascadia last year. He took 6 or 7 of us out to dinner and was just talking to us. And we're like,
I don't remember going out to dinner at Cascadia, Jim.
Yeah, you weren't invited. The CEO doesn't like you.
Understandable.
But the developers were talking about, you know, we work in a legacy application. And because it's been around for so long, we have to move a little bit slower when we do things to really make sure we're not breaking other parts of the application. Or because it's multi-tenancy, we have to make sure that when we're writing something that is supposed to only target one account or system, it doesn't affect the others in a negative way. So there is a lot of like handcuffs that are on us as we are developing. So this new architecture outside of the code base, this is why Salt Lake framework was built. We've talked about that in the past. It allows us to spin up an app quickly, have the tools we're used to, get stuff done. So,
yeah. So I've always wanted to be able to offer, and I guess we could really, like, I feel like we're getting to a point where we could, but offer to allow a team to have, you know, like Fridays be open source day. Like, you know, today is your day. You can build open source stuff. You can contribute to open source projects. You can, you know, write for the magazine, you know, like have that one day a week where everybody knows that they can decompress, but everybody's still around to handle issues and clients and stuff. Yeah. I might get there. Like, once we get this product out the door, which has just been looming over my head now for way too long, once we get it out the door, I might start to push the team into that direction. Because we've got such a good cadence going with our environment, and having people around the world is helping with that, right? We have, you know, people in the UK and people in Thailand. And so there's like, when we get to Friday now, it doesn't feel like everybody's just waking up and trying to catch up with whatever's in the queue. You know, we already had people out there, like, you know, kind of there. So, but yeah, I always get very envious of these companies that are like, oh yeah, Friday, everybody just works on, you know, personal projects. And it's like, oh shit. Well, this is my personal project, so get to work.
or we put them on our projects.
That's true too.
We need a new PHP Tech website up and running yesterday.
Yeah, what happened to that open source love, people? Where's that at? Don't see that happening.
Yeah. We have to put that live somewhere for people to see what's there, and then they can say, they can handle their own pain points. Hey, I went to this site, this page, and it was crappy.
Yeah, that's true. We need to get something up, I guess.
Yeah.
Why didn't we do that? We could just open source this year's tech website. I'd need to go through there to make sure there's nothing in there.
Now, let's just start with 2026, because we have an idea of direction we want to go, specific things we would like to do. It's just a matter of making that happen. So let's focus on that, make that live, and then contributions to 2026. That's the way it should work.
Yeah. Your video's getting choppy for me. I don't know if it's you or me, because I'm not hardwired anymore.
So yeah, I think it's you, because it's freezing up.
All right. I was worried about that. I need to hardwire this room still, and I was hoping I could avoid doing it. But all right, well, let's hear from our buddies over at Honey Badger, and we'll get back to it.
When your app breaks in production, you want to quickly understand and fix it, not sift through logs for the next hour. That's where Honey Badger comes in. Honey Badger notifies you of errors, outages, and performance issues as they occur and helps you respond instantly when your systems go down. When you need to dig deeper, Honey Badger's advanced query engine helps you reach into your logs and grab just the information you need. With error tracking, performance and uptime monitoring, log management, and support for over 10 languages, Honey Badger is the best tool to gain real-time insights into your application's health and performance. Best of all, it's free to get started, and setup takes less than 5 minutes. Be sure to bookmark honeybadger.io. That's www.honeybadger.io.
Thank you, Honey Badger.
Yeah, it sounds like it's me. Thank you, Honey Badger. Thank you, Joe, and everybody in OFFS for having my back. I am a big-boned individual, but yeah. Sounds like I need to, and this was actually one of the things I brought up with my wife. I'm like, I know. Only problem with that is I need to get a hardwire over to this room. So not the worst thing. I just need to figure it out.
Yep. Not hard to do.
But yes, I do have a new lapel mic here. I'm trying it out today and see how it works. John says it's pretty good quality. I'm going to wait and see. And
yeah. Hear myself. I don't know if it matches like the mics that we have, and the fact that it's wireless. I don't know if that's causing some of the lag, but it's possible. All right. We had talked about our new partner program a little bit before, and we are working on that prospectus now. Eric and I wanted to rethink the whole conference sponsorship thing, and we're not looking for people just give us money. I mean, if you want to, we'll take it. Trust me. But we always yeah. viewed ourselves as partners in that world. We want to help the people that are sponsoring the conference as much as they're helping us. And the fact that we have other things to bring to the table, such as our magazine, our podcasts, our newsletters, our videos that we do on YouTube. So we want to be partners all around. If you're interested in the details, I mean, we'll share more here, but if you're interested in being a partner, please reach out to us. We're still trying to finalizing how it's going to work. But basically, think of the conference sponsorship that we've had in the past. We're breaking that down into basically monthly payments instead of just once a year where you pay us, and then giving you more than just the conference sponsorship. There's magazine advertising, podcast right. advertising, all of that kind of included, depending on, you know, the partnership level and I guess those kind of details.
Yeah. And I mean, quite honestly, like the word sponsorship has just been, I've been uncomfortable with it for a while because it's like, you know, we're a company, like people shouldn't be sponsoring us. Like that's not, you know, I don't know. It's not how I wanted to look at it. And if you've been paying close enough attention, I've been calling Honey Badger our partner for a while now. And I, you know, I reached out to them. I'm like, hey, would you be comfortable ordering instead of sponsorship? And they're like, yeah, it's fine. But it really started to occur to us more and more. It really hit home this year because, like I said, I'd already started moving away from calling Honey Badger a sponsor and called them a partner because we run their ads in the magazine. We talk about them on the podcast. But as we're getting into our meetings for sponsorship for PHP Tech this year, I'm like, yeah, again, we're not, this is more than a sponsorship. Like we can have a relationship throughout the year. I mean, we still will have a la carte stuff. Like if all you want to do is, you know, have a presence at PHP Tech, yes, you can have, there'll be a partner program for just the conference, right? Or just the magazine or just like, these are things we already offer people. It's just we're kind of bringing it all under one umbrella now. So we'll have one package that we can give people and say, here's all the things that, you know, all the partner, you know, avenues you can go with us. So yep. I don't know why I felt we needed to go that much detail in it, but yeah, I mean, I'm excited about it. Like I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, just need to get the information over to the designers and get something created.
Yeah.
At least get a rough draft done that we can start iterating on.
Yeah, I got it. I have that on my agenda of things to get done. So I should really work on that. Yeah. So really exciting. Yeah. So like John said, if you work for a company, you know, I know we typically are always looking for people for the conference, but you know, if you think this is something your company can benefit from throughout the year, let us know. And we'll, when we get the package done, we'll get it out to you.
Yep.
We have a bigger problem, John.
What's a bigger problem?
Well, you have a bigger problem, John.
You?
Your meetup is next week, and we don't even have a scheduled meetup yet. I need to do that tonight. Although I still have not, like, 100% have it locked in. But they said it wouldn't be a problem. Oh, yeah, no, he did. We did have a conversation about it this morning. He asked for a headcount. I'm like, no, we don't have a headcount. We haven't even announced it yet, but yeah.
It's small. You can tell him that.
In-person meetups, man, I'm still having a hard time with them. I like them. I like going. But again, it's the whole running PHP Architect now. It's like you and I have very little time for this stuff, man.
Gonna have even less time if we don't have somebody step up to present.
I know.
I might have to throw something together. Maybe I'll
have to do my verbs.
Mm-hmm. I said maybe I throw something together.
Oh, the event sourcing verbs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. You were supposed to show me some stuff and you never did, you bastard. That's funny you said that. Like you said it first, so now it's on you. I almost said maybe I have to put together a couch presentation.
You have to, so you can figure out the problems you're having with the client.
I should do native PHP. I haven't played with it in a couple of weeks now. But like the last time I was getting into it, I finally got all my workflows working and started, you know, doing some coding. Native PHP. For mobile is what I've been working on. But yeah, maybe. All right, we'll figure it out. You or me, we'll have to step up if nobody else does.
Yeah. We don't currently have remote ways of presenting? I mean, obviously we could do just Zoom and show it up on the TV. Like, we could make it work.
Yeah.
But just like the conference, we're trying to keep everything,
you know, honestly, Chris, so John's referring to Chris Miller in Discord mentioned this. Honestly, so we've had this conversation about remote presentations, even at the conference. And like, you know, if people are physically getting together, I'd like the presenter to be there. But more specifically in this case, real talk with you, Merge PHP, always looking for, and that's always remote, right? Merge PHP, that it came out of the COVID, what am I, 90 years old? It came out of when, you know, during the time of COVID, and we were trying to keep that community, that user group feel going, and a couple of user groups got together and created Merge PHP. So, yeah, if you want to, matter of fact, I think there's actually a merge after our show today, if you're interested. But if you need me to put you in touch with somebody, and this is not just for you, Chris, this is for anybody out there. If you need introductions to people at Merge, and you're interested in doing a talk, let me know, and I can most.
The only problem is, well, yeah. Merge isn't so bad because it's 4 p.m., so it's just an hour after we start here, but our user group wouldn't be until 7 p.m. our time, so it's still another 4 hours from now. And I already know it's late over there. So,
right. That's very true.
That would be very tricky.
Let's see. They have their website up currently. Merge PHP. So today is return to rest, if you're interested. It is today. Oh, Ramsey. Damn it, Ramsey. Yeah, return to rest is today's, I don't see, oh, here it is right here, 1900 East Coast, 1600, yeah, 4 o'clock, yeah. So right after this show, head over to, it's a YouTube channel, I assume that it's, yeah, Merge PHP, youtube.com, Merge PHP. Why do they have a C in there? That's weird. Their URL has /C/Merge.
That's the old.
Does that
I don't think so. I think either? That's the old way, is /C was channel.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. So it's just, you can just go to youtube.com/mergephp and it will take you there. Yeah. So check them out. Nice little segue. See, you could have a solid 2 hours of just pure PHP goodness. Well, let's say an hour and like 15 minutes with our show of pure PHP goodness on your Thursday afternoon. So Merge PHP. Go check them out today. Use our discount code. I don't know why I said that. All the other YouTubers have discount codes. I feel like I should say it every now and then.
Earlier right. today, it was shared in our Discord channel. Again, be a part of our Discord family, discord.phparch.com. Always great conversation. Earlier today, I think Ben Ramsey shared this. Exploiting public app key leaks to achieve remote code execution in hundreds of Laravel apps.
I thought that was our boy Joe that did that. Is that not Joe that did that?
Oh, maybe it was.
I don't care. I'm giving Joe credit for it because I'm not going to get Ramsey.
It was.
Yes, it was Joe, very much.
Ramsey followed up with a different link.
Yeah. So, yeah. Did you read this?
I started reading it, and it boils down to don't commit your secrets to your repo. And especially if your repo is publicly accessible, which brings me.
All right. So you just said it, especially, but would you do it if it's not? If it's just
you shouldn't.
Private repos?
You shouldn't. Would I?
Why?
I don't know. I don't have a good answer.
I think you shouldn't because you never know what, like, it's still Microsoft, right? You never know what Microsoft's doing with these repos. If they're scanning these repos, it's probably why you shouldn't. But I kind of do, especially, I mean, I should take that back. I don't kind of do. I kind of would, especially when you're working with teams, right? No, not even with teams. That's definitely when you don't do it, right? Because, yeah, I don't know. I can't come up with a good excuse. This is specifically the app key leaks, though, which I really don't understand. It says AppKey leaks to achieve RCE in hundreds of Laravel apps, but like the AppKey is in your .env file. So how is the AppKey leaking in like your other stuff?
Well, it is, but Laravel now has vaults, right? They don't. It's very clear. You don't put secrets in your .env anymore. Your .env is for configuration. Your secrets are supposed to be in secret vaults, which are encrypted.
What? What are you talking about, John? You're drunk again. I mean, I know vaults are a thing, but you said that's in Laravel now. Laravel has vaults? What? How do I not know this? Laravel. Well, that's not. All right. Good. You keep talking. I'm going to go find this.
You go find that, because I don't have a good answer for you other than that's what I read. But reading this brought me to thinking about there was a talk at PHP Tech, Secret Security End-to-End by Dwayne McDaniel, which was an awesome talk. And as you pull this up, I see this is on Git Guardian, which is also where Dwayne works.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I've seen him. He wrote about PHP Tech last year on Guardian. Yeah.
So
that's funny.
I mean, it really comes down to don't share your secrets in public repos. And what Git Guardian does is they watch the public fire hose of data coming from GitHub, because if you didn't know that already, you can subscribe to everything that happens with public repos, and then they scan and they're looking for secrets that are being exposed, and they're trying to let people know as quickly as they can, hey, you committed this and you probably shouldn't have, but I'm sure most people ignore it or don't check their email, and they're trying to help.
Yeah. And Dwayne.
Yeah.
Cool, man. How are you making out with those last videos?
I tried, and Premiere keeps crashing. Like every time I go to create a new thing, it's just like, nope, crash.
I tried to make one and I forgot the trick you told me on what are they called? Not a scene, not a. I forget, where you said you're making new whatevers.
So it's not project.
No, right. It's not a project. It's just a little tab. Yeah, I couldn't figure out how to do it again. Yeah. I'm like, damn it. Oh, I meant to reach out to you about that.
Is when I go to do that is when it crashes and just fails. So I don't know if I need a reboot or what, but I tried a handful of times. And then I'm like, well, hopefully he's got it. Hopefully Eric's all on it.
Yeah, Eric's not on it. I got news for you.
Just to finish up on that securities thing, I shared one more link that there was a issue opened talking about the app key and whether it should be in the .env file or not. And it went back and forth. It got closed, but then it got reopened and eventually was resolved to a point.
This is in Symfony's repo. Yeah. Yeah, man. Security's hard. All right. New features. I'm just curious about this one. It's not like earth shattering or anything like that. And I looked at it up. When it first came up, I'm like, what? Like, why would I ever use this? Then I thought about it more. I'm like, yeah, I could see using this. Apparently in PHP 8.5, it's going to introduce a diff option for your INI call. So when you do PHP --INI, where you can see everything that's in your PHP INI file, if you make changes to that file and you don't remember what settings you changed from the default setting, you can now pass it. Well, not now. In PHP 8.5, you'll be able to pass it a equals diff. It'll show you which settings you changed from the default.
That's really handy. That's really nice. Yeah.
Really? You think you're going to use it?
Probably, especially past 8.5 when you're going to another version and you're like, wait, what did I change? Or setting up different environments and you want to make sure you have them configured the same way.
That's the one I thought of. Like you spin up a new server and you deploy your app. It's like, wait, what's wrong here? Why isn't it running correctly here? That was the one use case where I'm like, all right, this, I can see having this for that. That would be good.
Cause I'm guilty. Like as a quick fix, I'll jump into INI file and make changes and
negative one, baby. I mean, negative one on memory all the time.
So that bit, not memory negative one, but memory limit in general bit us bad last week. Actually, last week. We do have memory set really high because there's just a couple of pages, a couple of reports where the default memory was too low. Actually, most of the application, the default was way too low, so we bumped it way up. But it has that negative side effect of, as an application is using the memory, and if it's poorly written and just holds on to that memory, all of a sudden everything crashes. And I think I talked about it last week with an issue that we had where the event sourcing, where they had over 6,000 events and we were loading these 6,000 times two plus more, over 12,000 events into memory, get stored in memory. But because of retries, we'll have a process sitting there retrying as the guy kept trying to do more and more work. And because it was middle of the night, there's only two or three servers running. Quickly ate up all of the PHP FPM resources, but because they were all using almost the max memory per thread, the Ubuntu's out of memory killer just started killing things, including SSH, just like done. So don't do memory limit equal to negative one.
Negative one? You'll be fine. Just do it. You'll be fine.
Ideally, we would lower that way down. Stupid legacy apps.
Yeah, memory limit, and then I use this is for local development, obviously. Oh no, I guess it wouldn't be obvious, but I do negative one, and then I do like a gig of max upload file size. I forget what the actual setting is, but
right,
it's something like that. Yeah,
yeah. No, I get it. I do that too, especially local development. Yeah. It's like, leave me alone.
Yeah,
I know what I'm doing. Trust me.
I'm a professional. Leave me alone. So let me hold this off for a second. Last week we talked. So last week I brushed over a post I had shared, or posted on Trello. So Mux came out with the article. See, this is why I brushed over it. I noticed this post, "Look out, kids, PHP is the new JavaScript." Okay, there's a couple of issues I have with this. First thing, it was from September of last year. So I'm like, all right, this is kind of old news now. And honestly, the other thing is I'm just tired of these posts. Like, I'm so tired of them. And I have a hard time reading through them because it's always the same information. Hey, you remember how shitty PHP used to be? Well, it's not so shitty anymore, and here's why. And it's just like, I can't really read another one of them. But I do like to draw attention to them because, you know, I like to give people, especially people who work for companies that, you know, they have some say in the technology that they use, I like to give people, you know, some links to go to. And then, now I'm not saying, because I am a fan, I'm going to admit this, I am a fan of this person. I'm not saying Theo watches this podcast. I'm not saying that, because that would be crazy. But I subscribe to his YouTube channel, because he's a big, you know, Vim person as well. He does a lot of Vim stuff. But I subscribe to his YouTube channel. And this week, he's reviewing this column. Yeah, he's reviewing this exact column in Mux. I'm like, wait, one goddamn minute, Theo. Like, this is an old post. Like, how are you just now reviewing this? And I just thought it was funny. I'm like, wait, this is weird. Like, I just talked about this on the show last week. And now this guy, he was talking about it. So yeah, I thought that was, and again, I didn't watch the whole video because I'm just sick of people. I'm not sick of people talking about how good PHP is. I'm just tired of this topic. I feel like I've heard it so much over the last couple of years about why PHP is good again. I don't care anymore.
In a similar vein, I talked about depression. You know, being kind of serious with that whole new approach to things with the client. The other part that I forgot to share was in a separate side channel amongst the developers, somebody from ops, so they're concerned about keeping servers up and running, was really pushing to switch from PHP to Java or Node. Java or Node.
Like, I okay. It's been a while since when I was in the enterprise, WebSphere, is that what it was? IBM's WebSphere. Their Java stuff is what are the environments I managed. And dude, my memory of Java, and I didn't even do development Java. I just had developer friends who did Java work. Everybody was miserable. Nobody liked it. You know, everybody was looking for a way out of it. So the fact that you said, you're saying somebody thinks, you know, would consider moving to Java to be a step up from PHP is madness.
I mean, he wrote a lot within this thing. And one of my responses was, well, guess it's time for me to start looking for another job. Yeah.
I would be very curious if we have any Java developers out there. You know, it's great, but like, how do I word this? Why would you go with Java? I know why we went with Java, because again, this was enterprise. It was IBM. IBM was backing it. That was a big deal, right? Jesus, man.
We've been in the business for 18 years. And I know you're doing something between the enterprise and when we started.
That was literally a year, like almost a year exactly when I left. And it was actually when I left the enterprise and I was working at this little place in between that I came to the realization, because I always worked in larger companies that are very corporate sort of, right? Even when I was doing water purification, we were owned by a big company. So there was like a lot of process. I don't know if you ever watched Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but there's like this whole, you know, species where it is about, you know, just process, right? And everything is papers and approvals. So like, I feel like I've always worked in like these sort of places. But when I left my last enterprise job gig and went to work for a smaller place in downtown San Diego, it was like very eye-opening to me, where I was like, yeah, no, these guys don't know what the fuck they're doing. Like, they're faking this shit. Like, they're just trying to do something to make something work. And this was a company who had established products. Like, it was an established company with established revenue streams, and they were looking to break into more of the digital market, right? And I'm like, these guys are just like, they're just, you know, they're winging it. Like, there's no plan, there's no process, there's no, I think I even told Beck at the time, I'm like, I could do this. Like, I always felt when I was in my last enterprise job, like there was a goal to achieve the next level of, you know, whatever, management. By that time, I was kind of, you know, in management, right? So it was always the next goal of, you know, achieving the next management. And, you know, like the CTO, you just, you know, like, oh, what, you know, what would I have to do to be a CTO? You know, this, that, and you're like trying to come up with all this. And then I go to this place, I'm like, yeah, no, you start a company and say you're the CTO, which is basically what we did, right? It's like there's no monitoring of this, you know? And I think it gave me I mean, I've always kind of wanted to try to do my own thing, but I always felt like it was an overwhelming. Yeah, it always felt overwhelming to kind of figure out how to do it. And when I saw like this, which was like my first kind of peek behind the curtains, I guess, I'm just like, yeah, no, I can do this. Like, I can do this. And, you know, then we started lining up and, yeah, things went awesome. Crazy after that.
Conversation about Java in Discord is going right now. But back on that thread that was happening in Slack, a lot of us pointed out, like I said, there's other things we could do to, because his big thing is the thread per process or thread per request. The fact that every time a request comes in, it's a new thread on the server and you can quickly mm-hmm. exhaust those. And it's just not efficient. Pointing out there are other ways of handling it out there with what Roadrunner might help with that. FrankenPHP, mm-hmm. Swole.
FrankenPHP, yep. Exactly.
And we also pointed out, you can also write really bad code in other languages. Like, it's not, mm-hmm. I think Chris or somebody said it in Discord, there's no silver bullet. You can shoot yourself in the foot. And the fact that most of us are really adept at PHP and we've gotten better. So a lot of our issues that we have, again, go back to the fact that this code base is 20 years old and we did things way differently back in the day. And when it was rewritten from the PHP 4 code, mm-hmm. it wasn't written better per se. It was just rewritten. Granted, there was a homegrown framework in place. We had a front controller versus everything being separate PHP files. So it was done a little better, but not like we would do today. If we were to do it today, things would be completely different. Mm-hmm. The database structure was written for a completely different business model 20 years ago. It was written for multi-level marketing, to be honest, back in the early 2000s. So the database structure sucks, but because we kept evolving, we kept using that same database structure. So now we're stuck with it and it's very, very inefficient. So it's not PHP's fault. It's past us. It's how we used to do things, the database, so many other issues. It's not PHP. PHP is by far the least of our headaches. We just have to take things into account. And part of it is knowing, like, when you're going to make an API call, put a timeout on it. That bit us yesterday morning. I was woken up being paged for an outage because we were calling a third-party service. And sure enough, they had an issue and our request started backing up and we ran out of threads. So that's why he went on this rant yesterday of maybe trying a different language. It's like, no, we can solve this. Like, if we had thought about it when we wrote the code, anytime you call a third party service, you should put a same timeout on there. The fact that curl is just sitting there, hey, give me something. I'm trying to connect. I want something. there was another architecture issue of this was web request from that third party into our server, which probably had bad data because they were having issues. Us looking something up saying, oh, you gave us this ID. We don't have the information. Let us go ask you for the details of it now. So it just became an issue where they kept hitting us with more web requests and we kept reaching back out. Hey, I need details of this. And all of a sudden, all of the threads were filled up. It was not a fun morning.
Where are we at? Yeah, we're getting a little on late Sunday. I'm curious, do we want to... I kind of want to play this Twitter
post. It's just funny. Here, but, it's fun. It's funny. It's not tech at all. It's just...
Oh, you don't know this person?
I don't. It was... Somebody shared it. I thought it was funny. I thought I would share it, so I'll throw it in there.
I'm gonna share it real quick. I'm gonna try to put some volume to it, but I don't want to play the whole thing because I don't know.
Still rocking the docks, tall socks and Crocs. Got some gray in the go, call me Silver Fox. Got the ornamental turtle, steaks on the Weber. 10 years later, looking better than ever.
just about dad life. It was funny.
I've never been a Crocs either. Guy. That's funny. Yeah, I've never owned a pair of Crocs, but I have plenty of Dockers, man. My favorite, I still do the cargo shorts. I guess that's a bad thing now too, our cargo shorts. But you know, it's got the pockets, man. I love the pockets.
My kid wears Crocs, and it drives me crazy because this weekend they built quad steps. Have you ever watched American Ninja Warrior? At the beginning, especially in the old days, and they did it again this year. It's angled steps where you cross the water, and they're called quad steps.
Yep.
And kids really wanted to build it. They're getting along really well for some reason right now. So I'm like, I'm going with it.
Scary, man. They're ready to turn on you.
they're training, so they go over to the side yard where I built monkey bars for them years ago, and they never use them. All of a sudden, they're using them. I put a band on it to do assisted pull-ups so my kid can get stronger with his pull-ups, and TRX bands. So they are over there almost every day now training, working together. And it's so cute. They wanted to build these quad steps. So I went and I bought.
I'm sure that's what they're going for, John Q. Yeah.
So I went and bought plywood and some 2x4s, and they did it. Like, I was there, told them to look it up. When I went to the store, I went to Ace Hardware first to get plywood, and he was telling me they had 2x4 and 4x8 sheets. And I looked at my younger son. I'm like, you need 2x2, right? And he said, yeah. From then on out, the guy was talking to him. Like, when we went over, he's like, do you want this thickness or this thickness? And it was just funny listening to him talk to my almost 9-year-old. And then he goes, honestly, if you go to Home Depot, you're going to get the same, you'll get a full 4-foot by 8-foot sheet for less than what we're charging for this 2x4. And sure enough, that was accurate. So we went to Home Depot, we got that, and we're buying nuts and bolts. And another time where my kid just amazes me as we're counting out, we needed 16 bolts, 16 nuts, and I was talking about washers, and I think I said 16 washers. He goes, no, Dad, we need 32. And there's some random guy standing next to us who looks over, and he's like, wow, like, impressed. Because, you know, like, you're right. We're supposed to have one on each side. So I'm making them do the work.
Yeah. Chris, yes, Crocs, there's everything. You can buy little lights for your Crocs now.
Yep.
It was weird. I don't know if this was their original purpose, but the first place I remember seeing Crocs, and it made sense to me at the time, you know, Beck works in the ER, and so I would see like the nurses and doctors walking around in Crocs, and I'm like, okay, you know, easy to clean, easy to take off and put your other shoes on. I kind of get it. And then I started seeing them in the wild, like regular people. I'm like, why are they dressing like a doctor? Like, it makes no sense to me. Yeah, then I guess being the whole fashion statement thing. I'm not sure if that was their original
purpose. I would have thought their original purpose was water shoes. You know, walking into streams and water where you don't really want to be, don't know what's on the ground under the water. Because they're...
Mm-hmm. But they have water shoes.
Doctors have doctor shoes, don't they?
No, there's no such thing as doctor shoes.
What business idea.
It's not doctor. New business idea.
Docs. Doctor call shoes. Them docs.
Little scalpels and stuff. Docs. Oh my God, they're going to be rich. Why'd you say that out loud?
Because it's recorded in perpetuity where we have the IP.
We were the first to put the IP. Out
we have the IP now.
That's it. That's great. All right, I think that's going to do it for the show this week. You got anything else you want to talk about?
We'll have more next week, I'm sure.
Ooh.
We'll make it up.
Yeah. Oh, I got one quick, just little housekeeping question for you. And for the listening group out there as well, So the way we, John and I, do the show is as we come across interesting topics, we throw them in a Trello board, right? But like, not everybody, believe it or not, John, not everybody listens to the show. And I would like want to, you know, like post like some of the links that we share, right? I want to like post them again. As would you rather me post that from my personal account or from the PHP Architect account? Yeah. What are your thoughts?
PHP Architect, really? Now that we have some, well, now that we have somebody kind of managing that and helping out, they could.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Because we're trying to clean that up and not be spammy with our social media.
Right. And that's been the thing. So like that Mux one was an example where it's an older article. I want to get it out there. I want to like get the word out there. But I'm like, okay, do I add this to the PHP Architect handle or do I do it on my personal handle?
Both.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm not doing both. I've already got people complaining about me reposting on both accounts, and I get it. I understand why, you know.
People that.
So if anything, I'll post on one and then I'll repost on my personal account. I might do that, but.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we have lots of people that tend to follow PHP Architect and one or both of us, usually Eric, because he's better at social media than I am.
Yeah.
And it does get overwhelming, especially when we were trying to automate it and it would post out of all three at the same exact time, which would be frustrating.
Yeah, which really is frustrating to me. Oh, we didn't even talk about my week in Google Sheets, man. Dude, I've got to show you what I did. So John's alluded to the fact that we have somebody doing some social media for us. And I have very particular like gripes about posting on social media, especially when we're doing reoccurring posts, because the tool we use only allows us to do reoccurring posts at the same time of day. So you can figure out the different like lengths of days between, but it's going to post. It drives me crazy. I don't know why it bugs me so much. So I was doing like this spreadsheet that would like randomize times to, and then it'll do a bulk import. Well, then as people started being on different platforms, when I wanted to make mention of somebody, I like to try to make sure I mention them correctly on each platform. Like I reference their handles correctly on each platform. So over the last year or two, I've been kind of keeping a spreadsheet of people I know and their different handles on the different platforms. And now that we have somebody doing this for me, I really wanted them to adhere to these rules. So I did this Google spreadsheet that automates this, and it's awesome. Like, it is so awesome.
I've looked at it.
So I got... Yeah, man, I'm very excited. There are a few bugs in it that I need. So if you don't know, in Google Sheets, there's a whole scripting, JavaScripting thing you can do. And that was the other thing. Like, I needed to make it where somebody who wasn't technical knew how to run this stuff, and I didn't even know it until thank God for ChatGPT, because I asked ChatGPT, I'm like, hey, ChatGPT, I need to make a button for somebody to do this. And it was like, well, have you considered creating a menu item? I'm like, you idiot. This is Google Sheets. I can't create a menu item. You totally can create menu items. I'm like, this is awesome, man. So yeah, I've been, I spent like, I forget whatever day it was that we had our meeting. Of course, I got like the little, you know, brain worm thing going in my head. I'm like, I gotta get this out. I gotta figure this out. And I almost worked through the night on it that night. I think I went to bed at like 2 a.m. just trying to get it to work. And I finally got it working. But yeah, so back to John's point. If you notice, like as we lead up to the show now, I used to schedule notifications on all of our handles, because John and my personal handles are in this tool as well. I would schedule the notification to go at the same time, and that was one of the complaints. So even if you're only one platform, you'd get the same post from PHP Architect, John, and Eric, right? Just these three posts that come in one right after another. So if you notice now, the posts are spread out by a few minutes and they say different things. So it's not the same post at the same time. They're different posts. John's goes out, mine will go out. And then I think the last post that goes out comes from PHP Architects saying, you know, hey, the show's starting in the next 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. So yeah, that was a lot at the very end. I thought we were done. I thought we were wrapping up. But you reminded me.
You were supposed to release everyone to go to Merge PHP.
Oh, yes, yes. Shit. You guys are late for Merge PHP. You guys head over to Merge PHP, and we'll see you next week.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.